Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Today's podcast is the Q&A that followed the message on James 1:19 and 20. We have 8 questions. First, isn't it dangerous to be quick to listen and eager to be influenced by certain people? And number 2, aren't there times when instead of listening, we need to take action? Number 3, why do I find that I can be slow to anger for a long time, but then when it comes, it's out of control? Number 4, why did you make the claim that the whole book of James is about selfishness and pride? Isn't it about more than that? Number 6, does righteous anger bring about the righteousness of God? Number 6, when we have righteous anger, is it okay to be glad to see the wicked punished? Number 7, what if the other person is also a good listener and they ask about what's in your heart? How can you have a conversation if you're both listening? And number 8, what if the person has shut the door to you so you can't have a conversation with them?
Okay. Anytime you get a wisdom principle, it's not absolute. So he says, quick to listen. I want to be influenced by what you're saying. You don't want to be that way with a false teacher, right? You don't want to give any kind of fair hearing to a false teacher. You don't want to give any kind of hearing to a false teacher. You just plug your ears and run. And so yeah, all these wisdom principles, they're not absolutes. They're talking about in a particular context. And we know that context. So yeah, don't put yourself at spiritual risk by being quick to listen to false teaching. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the excuses. I get angry, I get over it. You know, I'm not like one of these people that I'm resentful for the next 3 weeks. You know, I blow up, a few seconds later it's gone, I'm back into a good mood. Yeah, that's great that you're honoring God a few seconds later. It's just not great that you were dishonoring God for the few seconds, right? Recovery from sin never justifies sin. Yeah, you can be too passive. Under the guise of a passage like this, you can fail to speak up, fail to take action when you really should because you're too passive. And so the balance there, I think, is if we look at the examples we have in Scripture, look at Jesus, look at Paul, look at these good examples of when do they take action and what righteous things accompany that hard action. That's a good thing. Another thing I found helpful is that book, Uprooting Anger by Jones, that book, he's got some really helpful things in there about that, about when to go ahead and take action and how to take action. Right. So if you've got anything building up in you, you're not being slow to anger. Right? You're just covering it. But if anything is building, that anger's there. You're just not expressing it. And so if you find like, wow, I'm slow to anger, you know, I can be slow to anger for about 8 or 9 days, then boom, you know, it finally explodes. Well, that means you're just like covering it up for those 8 or 9, but the anger was still there. Slow to anger means you actually put the anger away and you replace it with the kindness and compassion. No, I think God created some of us to be one type of personality or another. Some of us more extroverted, some more introverted. But I don't see a huge difference in the number of both sides that struggle with anger. The extroverted people, you see it. They got anger plastered across their forehead. The introverted people, it's hidden. And you don't know they're angry with you until they tell you. Hey, for the past 10 years, I've really had some resentment. I need to ask your forgiveness. 10 years! And some people conceal their anger. Some people just express it immediately. But the different types of personalities, I think, are good. They're gifts from God. But Satan always takes the gifts that God gives us and tries to push us too far in that direction to where we fall into sin on that side. Okay, I'll defend I made some statements in there that I didn't defend in that sermon about the whole book is about selfishness and pride. How many times did he talk about that? Again and again. You see it in chapter 2, the first half first half of chapter 2 is all about, the whole chapter 2 is all about love, which is the opposite of selfishness. He's solving the problem of selfishness. They were being selfish by showing favoritism to the rich. I want to get something from these rich people. These poor people, I don't care about them. That's a lack of love that's caused by selfishness. And chapter 2 is addressing that. Replace your selfishness with love. That's chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, he's got that whole section on wisdom. And if you look at satanic wisdom compared to heavenly wisdom in the end of chapter 3. It's all about getting rid of envy and selfish ambition and quarreling and fighting and all that and replacing it with love and humility. And then he goes into chapter 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? They're fighting. He says, you want something, you don't get it. You kill and covet, you don't get what you... They're being selfish and they're fighting and they're quarreling. And then they're in love with the world. And then later in chapter 4, he calls them to repentance, which is all about humility. And then they're boasting. That's pride. You know, they're boasting about their business stuff next. So all through the book, he keeps addressing things that are caused by either pride or selfishness, and he's calling them to replace them with humility and love. And every passage, every section in the body of the book is either replacing pride with humility, replacing selfishness with love, or giving the solution of here's how you receive the Word of God, humbly receive the Word of God and put it into practice. Or, and there's one other main theme in James, if you want to know how well you're doing in all that, look at your speech. Look at the tongue and your actions. You can look at your actions and your tongue as proof of how these things are, what's going on in your heart. And so that's the book of James. And I realize I'm just asserting that. I don't expect you to accept it at this point. But as we go, I think I can show, defend that. Yeah, I think if you have righteous anger, it will bring about the righteousness of God. But that's an anomaly compared to the natural course of human anger. It's not really human anger. If I have righteous anger, I'm stepping away from regular human anger, and I'm doing something that God does, and it's rare enough to where passages like this can just say, well, get rid of anger. Because that righteous anger is so rare. And even righteous anger, we need to be slow to it, because God is slow, even to righteous anger. Yeah, so that's one of the things that human anger does that's wrong, is take delight when somebody's punished. When God punishes someone for their sin, it hurts him. And it should cause us sorrow. When we see our enemies punished, it should cause us sorrow. We should feel sorrowful for that, like God does. And if we take delight in it, God will, Scripture says, punish us just for taking delight in Him punishing our enemies for their sin. So, Jeannie? Yeah, well, okay, so somebody also heard this sermon, and they're the one you're trying to listen to, and so you're both sitting there trying to listen. It'll work, because if somebody's trying to listen to me, and I want to listen to them, then basically what I'll say is, I'll tell you what's in my heart in a minute. I want to make sure first that I've really heard you out. Let me just make a stab at it. Is this how you feel? Is it this? And is this why? Does that get it? And typically by then, they're not going to argue and say, no, I just want to listen to you. At that point, they'll give me a yes or no. They'll say, that's not quite it. Or, yeah, that's exactly it. And then just say, okay, well, before I talk about my thing, let me just say, here's some things about your view that I just totally agree with. I'm right on board. And there is this other piece, and now I can answer your question about, okay, here's how I feel. But I found that you don't have to press very hard to get people to answer your question when you're just really trying to find out. I just want to know how you feel. So, okay. If you got somebody who they've closed the door and they're no longer willing to speak to you, Scripture says, live at peace with everyone as much as it depends on you, as far as you can. Because Scripture acknowledges it doesn't always depend on you. Sometimes they shut the door. And if they won't talk, they won't talk. That you're not responsible for that, but what you need to do is keep your door open. So when they ever, if they ever come around and repent, they don't have to try to get through a locked door. Yours is still open. That's hard to do, isn't it? When they're just still hurting you, keep that door open, keep your heart open. That's just hard to do, but that's what Scripture calls us to do, and we can do it based on Jesus' death for their sin.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.